Is it a social distance thing? Is it a shelter in place thing? Or is it a quarantine thing? Or is it a staycation? Whatever you want to call it, let's all choose to make the best of an uncertain situation. Make your home a stress-free place of relaxation while soaking in your own Bullfrog Spa from Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas. Right now, get 24 months no interest on approved credit. That's right, 24 months no interest when you buy from Tropical Fiberglass Pools. Bullfrog Spas are made in Utah. They're the most energy efficient and the most reliable spas in the industry, and they're perfect for your vacation rental. So let the relaxation specialists at Tropical Fiberglass Pools help you find the perfect spa or pool so you can turn your backyard into a staycation. Vacation Oasis. Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas will come to you for a safe in-home consultation. Call 688-8797. That's 688-8797.
At last, the Constitution is finished. But if a super-duper big tragedy happens, this entire document goes out the window. Said no founding father ever. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Will you be extending the state of emergency past August 20th along with that, the health guidelines?
That'll be a decision made probably by the legislature. I have a limited period of time that I can declare a state of emergency. It has to be reauthorized by the legislature. They've done that and extended it to August 20th. And so we'll wait and see what happens.
But will you be asking them to?
I don't know that we need to continue it on. I think we need to make sure that we have the ability to, in fact, put in protocols that are appropriate, which we really have in place now.
I'm announcing today, right now, that I will establish a new state of emergency.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. So much to do today. I'm going to get to it. How do you like that start of the show, huh? Yes, that was Governor Gary Herbert acting like King Herbert. And said he would listen to his legislature like he's supposed to, but no, nope. And putting out a mask mandate, but it's kind of, but it's kind of not, but it's kind of. So that was his explanation. In fact, I love the meme that says, I'm going to kill my turkey and have a funeral for it so I can have more than 10 people in my home, and then we'll have refreshments on Thanksgiving. That's about the speed of where this is going, and we need to... I can't even imagine at this point. I just can't even imagine wanting more of this. So I have two candidates for governor today in this hour that we're going to be speaking with. And the first one is Dr. Daniel Cottom. The second being, we'll get to her at the end of the hour. She's a write-in candidate. And Christina Conlon. So Dr. Daniel Cottom, how are you?
I am very good today. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Excellent. You grew up in Texas. You went to Brigham Young University. You returned to Texas to attend medical school, and you're a doctor. You have a background in bariatric surgeries and all kinds of training in all kinds of areas. And I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about your resume because I'd love to just talk about the issues and where you stand. You're running on the Libertarian ticket, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, excellent. And so tell me why. Why are you running for governor?
Because it is a disaster what Governor Herbert and the Cox administration is doing with the pandemic. And I was like, I can do this in my sleep 1,000 times better than he's doing this.
Yeah.
And I know more about what they're trying to do and models than they do. And so I said, why not me?
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm going to put my head out there and I'm just going to tell people I'm here and I can do this.
Excellent.
Much better than Spencer Cox or our Democrat that's running, which, you know, Spencer Cox and the Democrat are two faces of the same thing. So,
yes,
you know, yeah. So I mean,
agree with you.
We have a choice. We have a choice between a Democrat and a Democrat from the two major parties. I'm like, how does that benefit us? So I'm actually the second party running today.
Okay. You know what? That's fair. That's fair because they would be very much alike. It's just one will be wearing a conservative coat and the other one a liberal coat. And so tell me a little bit about what you feel you would have done differently with the COVID nightmare that we seem to have endured with the lack of freedom and liberty.
Well, the first thing you have to realize is that anytime the government imposes any mandate at the start of anything, and you can pick whatever quasi-emergency you want to pick, our initial impression is almost always wrong.
Right.
And the government this time has taken their initial impression, which is to do a lockdown or some version of lockdown, and then just continue doing it and then try to justify it the entire time, despite the facts that, medically speaking, this is a nothing burger, meaning that for people under 70, your chance of dying this is half of the flu, right? Mm-hmm. And no one freaks out about the flu, right?
Right.
And so for people over 70, yes, the rate goes way up. But we should be focusing on how we protect those over 70, not thinking how we lock up everyone under 70, right?
Okay.
It's got it completely backwards. I mean, if you want to stop someone from robbing in the community, you don't take everyone and put them in jail, right? You try to find the criminals,
right?
But all that the Cox and Herbert administration have tried to do is simply, you know, make mandate after mandate. And, you know, what is this, a state of emergency? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Where's the emergency? I really haven't seen it yet, right?
Right.
And then the other thing that they've done that is completely horrible and no one is holding to account is that every decision comes with risks and it comes with benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that they've all focused on the entire time and they're still focusing on, they're focusing on COVID risk to the people who die, but not risk to the rest of the population.
Right.
So it's as if I mean this, the Republicans and the Democrats, more so the Democrats, but the Republicans as well, this is a war on the poor.
Mm-hmm.
It is a complete war on the poor and the young and the disadvantaged. I mean, if you live up on the East Coast or in some of the nice neighborhoods in St. George, because I keep a condo in St. George, you know, I can go on with my merry way. You can declare all your mandates. I still make a good living.
Mm-hmm.
But if I work as a waitress in a restaurant, if I'm going to college and I have to do a side job, you know, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a complete destroying the livelihoods of everyone under the age of 70. And if you look at this, 90% of the people who die from COVID are in the last 2 years of their life. So you're ruining the lives of young people for people in the last 2 years of their lives. It's like not doing a risk-benefit analysis. And because you're afraid of it, you throw out all the risks to other people. And so we've seen this so well. If you look at what's happening, alcoholism rates are going up. Domestic abuse rates have gone through the roof. You have kids falling about in school. You have cancer screenings going undone. I mean, this, we have every 3 deaths that you see from COVID, you need to add one more to that because of stupid government policy, because that's how many people are dying in addition to what's happening here, and it's due to the government.
But isn't
completely due to the government.
Isn't it a war on middle class, too? I mean, middle class people were told they had to close businesses and non-essentials and things like that, so not just the poor,
well,
right?
It's not that, but but who gets it worse, right? It's the people on the margin. So, you know, and when they first closed this down, and I own my own surgical center, I was like, you know what, who's going to suffer? Yeah, and you're right about the middle class. All my nurses, all my medical assistants, you know, I can go hole up in my house on the East Coast for a couple months,
right?
That's fine. Actually, I went to St. George and went canyoneering and mountain biking, but that's a whole separate issue.
Right.
But that's exactly what people do who have money. We get out. You know, Park City went from hardly occupied as soon as they decided to declare, you know, that they were doing it. New York just flew here, got off the plane, and went to Park City, right? And so, you know, why do the rich people care? Which, you know, they don't. They're going on with their lives just fine. This is a war on the poor.
Okay.
And I'll let you say to the middle class too. Sure.
Okay. Okay. And then also, you know, people might say, well, you are not for Trump, and that's a problem for me. How would you address that question for people?
You know, I'm not for Trump. I'm mm-hmm. for Joe Jorgensen, right? Mm-hmm. I tell you that I'm a libertarian. I really am a libertarian.
Right.
Completely down the line. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe in free trade from the top to the bottom. And, you know, I'd say Trump, if you had to ask libertarians, we are super pleased with his judicial picks. Mm-hmm. And we are super upset about his tariffs. And so we are super happy he didn't start another war, mm-hmm. But we're super unhappy that he hasn't got us out of anything either. So, you know, is he an improvement over Obama from the war aspect? Absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about mm-hmm. tariffs and free to trade with whoever you want to,
right?
We say that's just a disaster. And
Did you feel like, though, that we were, you know, we'd been getting the short end of that stick for a very long time? How else would you have changed it? How else would you
So libertarians approach mm-hmm. this kind of differently. Okay. So when you look at, let's say, China, and they say, okay, we're going to subsidize our steel. Mm-hmm. Okay. So essentially what they're doing is they're putting a tax on their own people to sell you a cheaper product, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're like, if someone is that stupid, let them do it. And so we would be for the entire world subsidizing what we want. We sent them these worthless little electronic greenbacks, and they sent us goods and services, right? So the only person who loses when they subsidize industries mm-hmm. is the country that subsidized them. We actually, and it's very clear economically, we gain tremendously. Now, a libertarian would never stick their head in the sand and say, hey, what about that mm-hmm. specific industry that the Chinese decide to subsidize, right?
Okay.
You'd say there's no question that there will be specific examples in a complete open free market that when people do stuff like the Chinese mm-hmm. do, would be hurt by that. And you need to help those people find different jobs and offer them education and stuff. But if someone is dumb enough to subsidize their own industries to export them to the rest of the world, you should let them. Because they're literally taxing their own people to mm-hmm. to make your goods and services cheaper.
Okay. And what about healthcare? How do you feel about the government's role in healthcare that they've taken?
Well, and this is one of the things I will give props to Trump for. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, Trump's a mixed bag.
Right.
So, when you look at healthcare, what he did, some of the good things he did, it allowed people to join together in groups and buy health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And that was a great thing. You know, Obama took that away from people, right?
Mm-hmm.
He also took away the freedom to make choices according to your conscience, right?
Right.
Total anti-libertarian, right?
Right.
And so the truth is that the more that we can get closer to a free market in healthcare, you see the prices go down. And I'll give you a couple examples.
Okay.
Plastic surgery today is cheaper today than ever
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
I work in bariatric surgery. Our prices have come down by half, and our surgeries have quadrupled in safety, and the actual outcomes have tripled, and it's
okay.
all because we do lots of cash pay patients.
We're going to come right back. Can you stay with me for a few minutes? We're going to come right back, and I want you to be able to answer that in full. So I'll be right back with Dr. Daniel Cottom, who's running for governor on the Libertarian ticket. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to Tropical Pool and Spa. They are awesome, and they know what they're doing. They'll help you get a bullfrog, which is just so well made. It's one of the best in the industry. I have one, and it's just incredible. Make sure it's easy to operate. It's easy to use. You'll love it, and you'll thank me for this one, because you need to make your home kind of a heaven on earth with what's going on in government. It's kind of scary. I think we're headed toward another lockdown, and we're getting into to even more scary territory. I mean, it's just, you know, Halloween isn't just coming Saturday. It's been all year round. It's the gift that keeps on giving this year. So make sure you get over to Tropical Pool and Spa. They'll help you. 40 years of experience. You'll love these guys. They're honest and amazing all at the same time. They know what they're doing. I have Dr. Daniel Cottom. He's running on the Libertarian ticket. And just a couple of questions for you. And we were talking a little bit about healthcare. Where do you stand? What's your short answer on where you stand with government involvement in healthcare?
The less government has to do with healthcare, the cheaper it's going to be. We
awesome.
Still have to create a safety net for those
mm-hmm.
who need it.
Okay.
But the more we get government out of healthcare, the cheaper the prices are going to be.
Okay.
Across the board.
Okay. I had a text about somebody asking about the steel industry and manufacturing, if that died and all those people just had to find other jobs. Did you want to clarify that?
So for every one job that you lose because the Chinese were subsidizing something,
uh-huh.
you're going to gain another 4 to 5 jobs, and that's a well-known economic statistic.
Okay.
And so, yes, there's a constant turnover, but
mm-hmm.
we'll gain much more than they do in the long run.
Okay. What about education? Education
this
as far... Yeah, go ahead.
This is one of my big things.
Okay.
The money follows the student.
Mm-hmm.
And homeschoolers should get as much education money from the state as everyone else, because the Utah Constitution says all the money that we pay in income taxes go to that. And here's the thing. If we allow the money to follow the student, you're going to see an increase in teachers' wages,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to see better outcomes. Outcomes in this state have not changed for 30 years. You go to a system where the schools compete for the child.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple countries that do this. And the outcomes go up, the pay for teachers go up, and the amount of money that the state has to spend on that per student goes down. So everyone wins. The current monopoly on K-12 education
mm-hmm.
needs to end.
Okay. Who do you admire in politics?
In politics?
Mm-hmm. I know. It's a tough one. it's hard to identify. But is there anyone that in government, politics, in the past, in the present, that you admire, that you kind of look to?
You know, I tell you what. President Trump's pick for Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court is one person who I admire and
okay.
some of the principal stance. And the other person
mm-hmm.
I really like is Clarence Thomas. I often joke with people I should get a tattoo of Clarence Thomas on my shoulder because I just think he's so on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really point to, like, with the Neil Gorsuch recent ruling
mm-hmm.
with the Cherokees and enforcing the contracts the way that they were written
mm-hmm.
with them so long ago, like in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
It took real guts to do what he crafted there, and I really like those two guys. So
nice.
There's something.
What was the catalyst that made you a libertarian?
You know, the truth is that when I looked at spending
mm-hmm.
and irrational promises, I found that Republicans and Democrats on the national level spend exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I have always, and I don't know how to explain it, but I have not been for the aggressive foreign policy
mm-hmm.
That includes people dying
right.
from a very young child. And I see that both parties are equally bad in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I really cannot get behind the spending that they're doing.
Right.
And because I don't believe that Republicans are small government Republicans. They govern as big government people. And they just have different spending parties. They're not anyone. So the libertarians were the only one that gave the consistent message
mm-hmm.
of free trade,
mm-hmm.
free people,
mm-hmm.
get yourself out of these silly, stupid wars around the world, and allow people, believe that people are smart enough to make their own choices,
mm-hmm.
And they don't need a nanny state doing everything for them to get ahead in the world. As a matter
okay.
of fact, the more choices they take away from you, the worse the economy gets, not the
there
other way
go.
Around.
There you go. And your feelings on climate change and their big hill to die on with all these, the Green New Deal.
Okay, so this is a made-up thing, just like the
mm-hmm.
pandemic is for most of society.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is the climate has been changing forever, and it will will continue to change. And right. we are so adaptable. We have so many bigger things to worry about than what is the 6-inch level of rise of the ocean in Florida over the next 100 years, yeah. that it boggles the mind. You know, the one way to get good climate change and mm-hmm. to get rid of pollution is to let us all get rich, and we'll all drive fancy electric cars. Mm-hmm. And you know, but unless you get rich, poor people don't worry about the climate. You go to any third world country, and you see that.
Right.
So the way to get people and the climate cleaner is to allow free trade between mm-hmm. people and allow freedom to make their businesses. And guess what? We will clean up the environment and the air, because it will be not a hard thing to do. But when you want to take people who don't have very much and force them to do these really expensive things, what you get is the crazy blackouts in California, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it's completely putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah. Dr. Daniel Cottom, I appreciate you coming on. And you're running for governor, CottomForUtah.org. Cottom with an A, yep. So CottaM for ForUtah.org. You can go and check out all of his platforms, everything that he's about. And I appreciate you coming on and letting us know.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. You bet. Libertarian ticket. And thanks. Really, really appreciate you. That was great. I'm glad that he came on, and I'm glad that he described what he's about. And then next up in the next segment, we'll have a write-in, Kristen Conlon, and kind of figure out what she's all about, too. In fact, you know, you might find this interesting. I was in the Wayback Machine looking at some articles. By the way, I should probably mention this, too. We'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow. The county commissioners just gave $60,000 to Kayenta because they chose to close their doors during the COVID thing. And there's a lot of, let's just say, there's a lot of CARES money being passed around, and instead of having a backbone and saying no to the CARES money, you know, South Dakota did it, and guess what? They didn't fall apart because they didn't get all this extra cash. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we don't have a backbone in Utah, so we are like money, 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 money grubbers, you know? So our county commissioners, Manny Moe and Jack, decided that they wanted to go ahead and allow all of this funding and couldn't wait to get their hands on it. And then now they can't wait to be the little the guys that give it out like candy. And not only are they giving it for vaccination pods, so we have a place to hand those out. Wonderful. We also have this kind of stuff going on, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in tomorrow's show. But I was going in the Wayback Machine, and it was interesting looking at 1919, and they said a second wave was coming. And it was kind of funny, because if you really look at that second wave, even back then they were going, no, it's not. We're not getting a second wave. This is getting ridiculous, right? And there were groups that were meeting together, and they were not for the masks. And let me just say this. So this is an article from 1919, and they said the influenza epidemic has not reappeared. And they said figures on the influenza cases made public by the State Board of Health show there's been no recurrence of the disease in epidemic form in California this fall, and point a sharp contrast as it existed in the time last year. Also said during 1918, it was in the month of October that was the greatest number of cases were reported, while the heaviest death toll occurred in November. From the period of November 5th to November the 2nd, almost about a month, in 1918, at the height of what was going on, cases of influenza reported were 121,000. But guess what, folks? Deaths were only numbered at 5,381. You would think that the death toll was 121,000, right? No, that was just the cases of people that got ill. And a lot of this turned into pneumonia, just like it's doing now. And they were blaming it, you know, on the influenza. But it was, they said, for the same period this year, 197 cases of influenza. And they said were practically nil. the deaths. And they said, you know, they kind of went on to talk about how there was already a steady decline, just like naturally there always is. And I wanted to bring that up because as you go back in the Wayback Machine, you kind of realize that, oh my gosh, what are we doing? You know, the governor came out with this kind of undated, just October 2020 letter about stay safe to stay open, trying to get companies across Utah to adopt this ridiculous piece of crap. I don't even know what to call it. It's the COVID, are you with us or against us government protocol of, hey, we'll send you a bunch of signage if you call in and tell us that you'll sign our little pledge. Now, I know that there's mayors around here and people in government around here that love this idea. We have a lot of people here in government that are giving money to the Cox campaign, like Don Ibsen, $13,000 to Cox. And Cox is all behind this, too, on this document. And this is the Stay Safe to Stay Open Utah. And if you pledge, if you just pledge to love government, if you just pledge, they will just be so happy to sign you a bunch of, you know, give you a bunch of signage to put up in your windows. And then you get to be the new government stooge, I guess. I don't know what it is, but I will not spend money in a business that does this. And I know many people that feel the same way. They see this signage in your business, we'll walk out. There's no way I'm spending money on you if you are going to go with this kind of crap. So I just wanted to let people know that. And I'll tell you something, the information that came out back in 1919, even on the masks, they basically were reporting that the nurses that were wearing masks the most were 78% higher chance of having influenza than those that didn't. And the anti-maskers, if you want to call them, they actually were signing up in droves to go to meet together to say, we're not wearing this. We're not wearing this because it's making us more sick. This is absolutely ridiculous. And I love that they were standing up even then, that they were bold enough to take that stand and to also say, we're not just a bunch of sheep. We're not just going to wear this because somebody told us to, even when we know it doesn't make sense, when we know there's nothing logical about it. And going back 100 years ago, we were in the same exact battle. What does that tell you? The same battle, folks. It never ends. It never ends. Other headlines were red doctrines taught in the United States, whether or not to build the Golden Gate Bridge, and a bunch of gems that I posted on Facebook. But it gets, you know, it's just funny. I feel like we're constantly playing out the same thing. You know, history does repeat itself. And this ridiculous notion that we're in some 1300s plague 100 years later is just absolutely ridiculous. And it was our own Mike Leavitt that was Secretary of Health and Human Services that bumped the number from 30 million all the way to 50 to 100 million people died of influenza. It was absolutely a lie. What a liar Mike Leavitt turned out to be. But he bumped that up in the government report and just said they didn't know how to count back then. Yeah, and 30 million was bumped up from 10 million 30 years prior to that. Yeah, be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show for you. Thank you to Daniel Cottom for coming on, Libertarian Party. And of course, we'll have Kristen Conlon coming up. She's a write-in candidate. Happy to do that as well. And look at all of our choices for governor. You all know I've been very vocal. I can't cast a vote. I never could for Spencer Cox, never would want to. And so I'm looking at all the other options and people that are running. And I think that you give these people a fair shot and we understand where they're coming from. I think that's such a great thing to do. Make sure you get over to Auto Body Central. Auto Body Central fixes all my cars because I have teenagers. So you know that I have I'm in there constantly, and they are awesome auto body experts, and you get to choose your provider, so I would choose ABC. They are really, really good people over there, honest, and I really like that about them. Okay, and we'll be discussing a lot of stuff on the show tomorrow as far as what the county's been up to and what they're giving money away for and taking money for, and so we'll be talking about that as well tomorrow. Kristen Conlon, you are running as a write-in candidate, and let me tell you, I always applaud people that step up, that want to run. Tell us why you're running for governor.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks, Kate, for having me on the show.
Sure.
So with the primary, the candidates, we were hoping for Greg Hughes, and he was about freedom and putting a stop to mandates. But he, of course, didn't make it, and then Huntsman was, possibly the next best option. And when they both announced they were not going to do the write-in, I knew I needed to step up. And for me, it came down to I had a friend who worked for Human Services.
Right.
And she said, over the 4th of July, more people died of suicide than even touched the number of COVID deaths.
Wow.
And to me, that was shocking. As I'm looking around, things aren't adding up. We are told to isolate and to not, social distance. We're told to wear masks and not smile. And then at that point, people aren't even making eye contact anymore.
Right.
And also my niece back in Massachusetts, my sister-in-law sent me a picture she drew.
Mm-hmm.
And her name's Bea. This picture was of a tombstone, and on the tombstone it said, "Here lies Bea's hopes and dreams."
Wow.
And to me, that was an awakening.
I'll bet.
That people are losing hope. And what we're observing around us is not what we're being told. And as we're talking to our neighbors and friends, we're finding out, there's COVID's being written on death certificates when it shouldn't have.
Right.
People are being diagnosed as having it when they, it's a lot of questions.
Sure. Sure.
And yeah, so
okay.
Well,
I can see the motivation, and so you're throwing your hat in the ring as a write-in candidate, and I mistakenly call you it's Christina. M.
Christina.
Conlon. And so it's Christina. T-E-N-A,
yes.
Which is a different spelling. And C-O-N-L-I-N. C-O-N-L-I-N.
Yes.
And the only reason I say that is because you need to be able to get that right on the ballot. And so, tell me a little bit about how you feel about things. I think that that kind of gives me a little bit more understanding about you. You've got a medical background, right? And a Master of Business Administration, an MBA from Westminster College, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then tell me a little bit about how you feel about the issues. What would you do differently as governor than what we've noticed? In this last year, basically, you just hit the COVID issue straight on, and I love that. What else? What else do you see that you could be doing differently that would work?
Yeah. So for Utah, I feel like we've become Silicon Slope.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these major tech companies that have moved in with little taxes that they pay.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are making billions a day.
Right.
And then they're feeding into a lot of this problem. A lot of the suicide rates and things come down to, people being on their devices and feeling like they don't measure up and feeling like someone else's life is more glamorous than their own. And, and also with the sex trafficking,
right.
They feed into the cyber sex traffic field.
Sure.
So they are creating some of this, yet they're not helping with the problem. What I would like to do is give them an opportunity to do not only well, but to do good for people and help give us a restorative justice program where, for example, a sex predator, where there is justice for those children, that person does have a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
But in that period, we don't forget about them either. We say, what happened to you? What's going on with you? How can we help and how can we heal? And give them an opportunity to to, you know, repent and apologize and change their life.
Right.
So I think that's something I would love to do for Utah besides just freedom. I want to give freedom.
Lessen regulations, right? Lessen regulations for business and remove, replace Common Core. People don't realize it's only 7% of the budget, and so 7% we could do without, I'm sure. And so so that's important to you, and stop human trafficking, give incentives. Now you're for the inland port, is that right?
Yes, I think for Utah, I think we need to start thinking of producing food. Mm-hmm. I feel like they put so much emphasis on this housing crisis.
Right.
We need more houses. We need more houses. But growing up here, I've seen more fields disappear that were full of livestock, that were full of, you know, hay and other produce. And it disturbs me to think we are losing our food, and we have to bring that back. We have to give incentives. We have to find a way to incentivize farmers to keep food growing in Utah.
Okay. And then you say no to the tracing act, the contact tracing, and to red flag rules.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I think that's a violation. You have to be tracked and traced. And I feel like they have this illusion. Mm-hmm. The whole COVID thing for me is we can't control this. We never could. We never will. Mm-hmm. And but what's being created is this illusion that we can control it and this fear within it. So I think that just keeps playing on it.
Okay.
To say, oh, well, you have it and you're, you know, tracking and tracing it. And with red flag laws, it's so anyone who's ever been depressed can't bear arms, you know.
That's,
I think, 99% of the population.
Yeah, this year. Jeez. I think we're all depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very true. Yeah. And so I'm talking with Christina Conlon, who is running for governor as a write-in. You need to write her name in if you are agreeing with her platform, and then also supporting Unborn Life. As a governor, what could you do to serve up that platform of being pro-life?
Yeah, I think there's so many couples that would love to adopt a child, but it's, you know, there's just not a lot of children. It's a very tough process, very expensive. I feel like we can make that a smoother transition for adopting parents.
Now, the SCOTUS ruling out of Texas is not a federal ruling, and a lot of people are not aware of that. And as a governor, you could actually support Utah standing alone, like some of the other states have, and saying that they would not support abortion any longer. Would you be willing to do that as governor?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not fair to say, well, you know, prosecute these women. And but, yeah, I think we need to phase it out and say, you know, support these mothers. And there are plenty of households that would love to adopt and have children. A lot of people are unable to have children, including myself.
Right. It's going to be, I think, one of the challenges as governor, it's going to be very, very difficult to say no to money that's kind of wrangled in front of you when they want you to go along with sort of the narrative of many states. Our governor has no backbone to do that. We've noticed that. Yeah. And so do you have that kind of backbone? Do you have that kind
Absolutely.
Of fortitude?
Absolutely. Because this is not about money for me. And you know, in fact, with my campaign, I did not accept any donations. To even donate to my campaign, it was through a prayer or good vibes, whatever that means to you. Helping your neighbor, or if you wanted to help somehow with the campaign. And
that's good.
What was most important to me was getting, we are so divided as a nation right now, to get people talking. Because we all have someone that we need to reach out to that all of a sudden we're enemies when we were friends. And just listen. Listen to them with empathy. Do not judge. Just listen. And then at the end of the day, I think we find we are far more alike than we ever were different. Mm-hmm. And we can both agree that we just want the freedom to choose.
Okay.
And with money, I have learned money does not buy happiness.
Yeah, that's for sure. KMC for Utah, the number four. So K, M as in Mary, C as in Conlon. So not Mary is your middle name.
So
I'm not renaming
Maria.
You.
Maria is my middle name.
So K as in K as in Christina, M as in Maria, and C as in Conlon for Utah. The number for Utah.com is the website. So two quick questions for you. Number one, who do you admire in politics and government that has motivated some of your stances? And then also, what scares you? What frightens you about what's coming?
Oh, those are deep questions. You know, I guess, you know, in politics, I guess my hero was always Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
He just believed in freedom and just went for it. And him with 12 other people, they changed history in mm-hmm. the U.S. and gave freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my political leader.
Okay.
What frightens me...
Mm-hmm.
That's a really deep question.
It is.
I feel like there is some global power coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot's going to change. And that could be an hour conversation.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, that's true. You're right. You're right. So globalism, is that what kind of makes you nervous moving forward? What,
mm-hmm.
More and more
yeah.
globalism?
And just... not even having the ability to say no to having something injected into my body.
Yeah.
Or anyone else's body is frightening to me. And then what's next? You know, what else are they going to enforce?
Right. That's so true. I know that Herbert passed out this letter saying that if you agree with government, you'll kind of sign on and be the government, the business that supports government. They're going to give them signage. How did you feel about that? For COVID.
Yeah, I think it's just corrupt.
Yeah, I do
yeah,
too.
There's no other yeah. word than corruption
yeah.
and manipulation.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I appreciate you running. I know it's not the easiest thing to do to put yourself out there because you know you get a lot from both sides, and so I'm always happy to see somebody run and run for good reason that they can identify. Anything else you'd like people to know about you?
I think in the end we're in this together, and
mm-hmm.
we are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that. In the end, three things remain: faith, hope, and most importantly, love.
Okay.
And it's not too late to share that with everyone.
Okay. And I appreciate you coming on. So it's KMC for the number four, Utah.com. And I had Daniel Cottom on for the Libertarian ticket, and his website was Cottom for, with it spelled out, for Utah.org. So remember that too. And these are two candidates that I'm going to say, check them out, look at all their stances and understand where they're coming from. And I hope people will give you some thought because I think both of you guys, because I think that we really need somebody that will stand up to what's going on. And I appreciate you
yes.
putting yourself out there.
Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate you having a show and talking about these issues.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks, Kristen. Thanks, Christina. I really appreciate it. Christina, and you know I always butcher names on the show, so I really apologize,
okay.
Christina.
It's a difficult one.
I'm known as the name murderer, so I just so apologize. anyway, well, thank you so much, Christina Conlon, and that's with a C, Conlon. And make sure and put her in. And appreciate you guys. And Chris Ann Hall doing a schedule change this week, our constitutional expert coming on the show next to talk about the timeline of the election over the next 2 months. You're not going to want to miss this. And plausible deniability, that word's been shifted around a lot. So we're going to be talking about that too. And then Melissa follows her, and then Susan follows her. I know, it's like Day of Women too. Weird. Anyway, be right back on the Kate Daly Show.